ungeri și după aia care nu însă programarea aceea pe cea mai bine. Asta tu să te simți și vende și la ingresi, la vicea mare vinde, și la Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaja, și la Prabhupada ki, Anant Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki, is confounded Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaura Premanandi Vaya, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to C.C. Guru and Srila Ranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thinks himself lower than the grass,
who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respect to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. And these are qualifications which are to be reached by those who wish to chant the holy name with a steadfast attitude. That means, no matter what happens in their life, if someone has these qualities, he can chant. If someone doesn't have this quality, there will be something happening in the life, and then he will either chant very, very distraught, that means his mind will not be with the chanting, or he will not chant at all because he stops. To reach the level of steady devotional service, you need to develop these qualities. You want your chanting to be steady, that is, in all circumstances, you will have to be qualified with these. Otherwise, your chanting is unsteady. That means when something happens, you won't be able to tolerate it, and your chanting will become affected. It will become weakened, and you will maybe even lose it. Maybe. In other words, you need to have tolerance of the lives, the waves of lives, the ups and downs, the moods, the changing situations. Maybe in your body, you're sometimes well rested and sometimes not. You're happy and you are distressed. You need to be able to tolerate all this. And we will talk mostly on this qualification, this one qualification, which brings forth the other, the humility, being able to praise others and glorify them. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Samiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Vajrayane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Ashtadvaveshakarine Jaya Shri Krishna Jaya Kanda Raghunika Nanda Shri Adeta Gadavara Shri Vasani Gora Madhavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 together three types of humility. Let us start with the lowest, that which is not desirable in spiritual for life. It can be described as a psychological disorder and is an inferiority complex. It comes to someone who's grossly identified with his false ego, the body. He will think if there is someone who is performing better than him, he will feel worthless and highly uncomfortable because his ego is disturbed. This psychological disorder is unfortunately in the Western society very widespread, and that's why people in the West will not be very happy when they hear that this, when they hear this verse. They will feel, no, you should not be humble. You should be proud of yourself. Have you heard this from in psychology? You must have a sense of dignity, a sense of self-worth. And most probably, listen to this, these psychologists who advise us like this have an ounce of truth in it. Because, you know, this first type, which you also find often in our in spiritual groups, this first type of humility is not real. It is something which, you know, a person feels, oh, I'm so useless. I'm so useless. And there's someone so others are better than me. He's highly disturbed. It makes him even feel more weak and more problematic. No? Instead of being happy, wow, that's so many people more qualified than me. Wonderful. I mean, this is very good. They serve Krishna better. They have made more advancement. He is highly disturbed because he is in the false ego. It's not... He feels very much hurt by this. And this is there, and therefore some say who are still operating on the relative mind with their suggestions, this is not good. Be a little bit, get out of this dark corner, you know, of your mind where you feel disturbed and so on. Just know you also have a little value, you know, and you can do things like eating prasadam, you can cook, or you can you know, and so on. And they might like to motivate us. Of course, this is a, let us call it a well-intentioned but ignorant attempt. One would have to help someone, one would help him to go to another level. This is now the second level. I won't talk so much about this because who wants to think about psychological disorders too much? It's a humility which is explained in the second verse of the Charitamrita. A humility which is based on remorse for spiritual chances not having been taken. Let me be a little bit more simple. On this level, one knows the mercy of the Lord is so great. He has made it so easy to reach Him by just saying you can chant the holy names at any place in any circumstances. There are no hard and fast rule. Still, on the other side, I, who am so full of offenses, feel no attraction to this. And this feeling of missing out on one's spiritual chances, missing out on the mercy, makes someone remorseful. He feels, oh, no. Do you understand? He is not so much any longer in the dark corner of the false ego. He thinks now a little bit about the mercy of the Lord. But still, he feels, because I don't take the mercy, I just don't develop attachment to chanting. He feels remorseful. And this is a little, this is better. Both of these types of humility, now you have to be a little concentrated, it will be a little philosophical, stem from what we can call, it's a difficult English word, I had to learn it, self-reference. Let me just ask our English speaker, Anjana, is our intelligent, well-educated. Is there a word called self-reference?
I don't speak. You can say self-evaluation.
Self-realization.
Yes, self-realization is there. Okay, then we know. How best of the knowledge of the English language? I have looked it up in an Oxford dictionary. There is, I mean, we want to be very clear now. Can someone go, please? In the, we have looked it up, isn't it, Banu? Self-reference. It's a word which even English-speaking people, I don't know, no problem. We can't know any. I also don't know all the German words which are there. That don't know, because it is a difficult thing. It comes from to refer to something. Now, self-reference means it's found in a group which their sense of reality is all in reference to the words of the group. For instance, let us take the Hare Krishnas, because we know them. They will say the world is full of kamis. Now, a person who is not in that group doesn't know for what are they talking about. It doesn't mean it was a very interesting form of birds, or does it mean bacteria in the intestines? The world is full of kamis. What does this mean? This statement only makes sense to those who are in a certain group. It's normal. It's not good and it's not bad. It's self-reference. So you refer to your when you speak about reality to what you know in your world. Now, this is what most of us as individuals do. We are thinking only about our reality, our little universe, as the Veda says. Atmano manjate jagat. Everyone sees the world according to his perspective. Huh? It's a closed, you could, to make it simple, it's a closed perspective of material consciousness, where the consciousness, which is meant to expand wide beyond all limits, which is meant to know, which is meant to connect with God, becomes shrunken in and bound by a sense of false identity. And it is here where one lives his life, a little universe, a little something which is not real. Now, because I am from Germany, you have to forgive me for my choice of examples, but I will use now a very heavy example. Fasten your seatbelts, please. Once there was a worm. This worm lived in his own little world, and his food was according to his warm little world. He was a stool worm. It so happened that a butterfly saw this worm eating the most objectionable food, which is there, human excrement. And he decided to save this worm from being a worm. And so he went to him and said, "I know a food which tastes very good, which smells very good, which is full of white." Human excrement also is full of atoms, but which is full of very good nourishing substances. Huh? "Come with me, I show you." "That's not possible," said the worm. "This is all what it is. I mean, my father did it, my grandfather ate it. This is, you know, the best. we can talk about different varieties, but this really is my world. This is where I live, this is where I eat, this is where I sleep, this is where my children will be born. The butterfly, wanting to show him of a different reality, said, "What if I show you that there's something so much nicer?" The mom was taken by the butterfly on a butterfly airwings, you know, it's an airline which the butterflies have. And he flew him, the butterfly flew him into a beautiful rose garden. And he said, the butterfly, breathe in. Can you appreciate the prana filled rose garden smell? The warm. You said, it smells like before. The warm had not trusted the butterfly. Just before going on that flight, short flight, he had put one of these undesirable substance in the nose. Oh, it's because he thought, what will I eat? I need some proviant, you know, something to, some picnic to take along. So he had taken that. And therefore his perception was blocked by this undesirable substance. I will now no longer say the word, I will use undesirable substance, because we are just before breakfast, you know. So that's why he could not smell. His head was full of his own little world and the smells of it. And the butterfly saw. He was just shocked about the amount of self-reference, you know, the referring to the old world. And he brought the worm into a river. He shook him violently until all the dark substances left his nose, and then brought him back to the rose garden. Now smell! Ooh. That's not all, said the butterfly. There's rose honey. Wait until I put you into rose honey. Where's the rose honey, please? So they got all the full variety of tastes of the rose garden. And the worm, who had been shaken out of his concept of life, who had now become open for the full variety of what was there, was totally thankful. My dear devotees, I think you note while I talk that I talk a little bit from the heart. Do you know why? Because that worm is me. I have also been brought by my self-realized spiritual master into a different world, with different values, with different concepts. But alas, unfortunate as I am, I could cry, but I won't do it because Germans don't cry in public. I'm still very much attached to the old world, the old habits, the old thoughts, the old ways of doing things, the old concepts, the old offensive mentality. And it is because I'm so full of this that I'm constantly thinking about my own little world. It is so sad. It is a very sad story. It is misfortune. And we have heard about this yesterday, how Mahaprabhu speaks this second verse and says, alas, he says, alas, alas, my dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy, such milost upon the fallen conditioned souls, by liberally teaching your holy names, I'm so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. Krishna doesn't like it that if we make offenses. Krishna sends strong Vega calls to us when we are full of bad judgments about others. When we cling, in other words, to our own little previous words. So this first type of humility was just the, I would say, in my best, I don't want to preach so heavy to you, I just don't like it myself, and, you know, when someone talks so heavily. It's totally, you know, you cling to your false ego and you're sad because you've seen to see the whole world is enjoying, only I am so fat and so unintelligent, and so I, no one became my wife up till now because everyone doesn't like me, and I'm so this and that, and you think about your own little universe, huh? This is the first, it is not good. It is based on the identification of the body, the self of the body. Madhvacharya says, when someone identifies with the gross physical body, he will have unquenchable sexual desires, drowsiness, and his peace will always be burned to ashes. This is the result of attachment to the gross material body. Strong desires which can never ever be satiated, and drowsiness. And the inner peace is burned to ashes by these desires. Then if someone identifies with the mind, with thoughts, the result is panic and fear, which in the end in disappointment. You may have this fearful life, you know, this and panic, always be very unsettled in life. This happens when you identify with the mental world. Like, that's why we say in our movement, we have this term, oh, you look mental. The way you see someone mental, that there is an air of anxiety and panic about, around them. He looks usually a little slim. A mental person looks slim. He usually has a little black rims under the eyes. You know, mental, like me. So then someone who identifies with his intelligence, and I think always of Jean-Paul Sartre for some reason, when I think of someone who thinks, who identifies with their intelligence, he suffers existential bitterness and frustration about the life. Do you sometimes have this? I think I've seen sometimes when devotees meet, they find fault and criticize, and the criticism is very intelligent. You know, they analyze the wrong behaviors and so on. Bitterness, existential bitterness. Now, when you identify with your false ego, you suffer from an inferiority complex. That is what Madhvacharya says. This is the first type of, let us not call it humility, it's you know, the inferiority complex. This is what many young devotees who are still not experienced in spiritual life often experience, you know. So this comes all from bodily identification at some you know, whether it's the mind or the intelligence or the ego or the gross body. This is the reward of material life to those who do not wake up to the fact that they are eternal source, part and parcel of Krishna. But when you wake up a little bit, like in the second verse, you come out of this inferiority complex and you think, you think I'm wretched because I have such a mercy and such an opportunity. Mercy means nothing else than opportunity. You know, such an opportunity. But I just didn't use it up to now. I will use it in the future. I will use it for in 1 minute or 2 minutes. I will use it. Huh? This is very good. This stinging feeling of remorse. Oh no. This is very good. Prabhupada says in the fifth. Fifth canto I read. It's around the 15th chapter. I can't really. It appears, another time it appears in the, you know, where Parikshit Maharaj's life is described, who also felt repentful. Oh, I have done something, he felt. I have made an offense against a great rishi by garlanding him with a snake. He was sitting in meditation. He was thinking about the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his meditation. But I felt hurt because he didn't greet me properly, didn't offer me even a place to sit or a glass of water. So therefore I took revenge by showing him how powerful I am and how useless he is. I put a dead snake around his face, around his neck. So after he had done this, he felt remorseful. He repented. And once a devotee comes to this stage where you really feel sorry because you have not used your opportunity, because you feel you are actually not intelligent, you feel you are attached like the grossest materialist. When you can face that feeling, that stinging feeling, then something starts. By this pain which you feel, this good pain, your karma is going off. Your story comes to an end. Repent! Feel sorry! More of this you need. You need to feel that you have not used your life properly. You are still attached to pleasures which even an ordinary Dalmatian boy who has just passed the brink of teenage life feels. Huh? Feel like this. Feel sorry. Allow yourself to confront the reality that you are a fallen soul, nothing more, very fallen and useless. Hare Krishna. Out, out. This is part of the Japa retreat. Maybe you never want to come again. It's the realization that you have missed your chance. Alas. Alas, alas. It is necessary. If you run away from this, the fact that you are still in your own little mayic universe, how will you open yourself to the treasures which are awaiting you? So after this, two states of humility comes the third one. It's a totally different place from where this comes. The first two types were coming from, you can look it up, self-reference. You know, you refer to the conditioned life. The first was quite harmful, and the second was good. You compare yourself and your performance in devotional service with the mercy of Krishna, the offer of Krishna, and you feel ashamed that you have not used it up to now properly. Then comes a different type of humility, which arises from, I call it the Krishna referential humility. That may be a new word, so I have to be careful. It is referring no longer to you so much, but to Krishna. It arises from the soul, and it is innate. Innate means it is in the soul. It's dormant. It's almost like, you know, when you have a sesame seed, inside of the sesame seed, you can't yet see it, but there is oil. If you press the sesame seed a little bit, then the oil comes out, which is very good for Ayurvedic massages. No? So inside of you, just there is this type of humility, third humility. This is very good. You think of Krishna there more than in the first two humilities. You think, I'm more low than a blade of grass. Why? Because the blade of grass can be used for good service. Go seva, or like in India, it can cover the house of a devotee, you know, the roof. These grass roofs in India. Huh? So I have not yet done service, but others have done service to Krishna. My beloved Krishna, I have not yet done service, but I will do whatever little I can. Like the ant who was carrying some grains of sand and threw it in the ocean to help Rama build his bridge over the ocean on the way to Lanka. So I will do a little bit what I can do. I'm not very, very talented. And the devotee who is on this level will be very happy. I can also do my little bit. I'm insignificant. Pride will never get him. He knows, well, what I'm doing is as a service of my spiritual master. So I'm trying, but he's really supplying me with all the things. Fight for your life to get this type of humility. Yesterday I talked to one of our many Kirtaniyas, I had praised the Kirtaniya. Oh, you sing very nicely. The devotee felt very uncomfortable. I gave a tip which I want to give you also. Because the devotee knew I might become pride. In my personality there is still this, I can't get enough of praise. I cannot get enough of laudation and praise, you know. So I said to the devotee, if you don't want to suffer from praise when others praise you, then if you don't want to be pride, you have to immediately give the praise to your spiritual master or to superior persons. When someone praises you, and you should think, I'm not like Shiva who can swallow poison. I have to get it out before it makes me foolish. So what you do is, You praise others. No, I'm so not good here dancing, and that's not. They are very good kirtan singers. You may say they are very good kirtan singers. It's all mostly in ISKCON we say it's all your mercy. But that really doesn't mean anything. You know, how is it the other's mercy that you sing? You know, what does the other have to do with your life? You know, but it's a good attempt to get rid of pride, you know, but we should be a little bit more realistic, you know. Like I once met someone from America. I have never met him, and said, I really appreciate your lecture. And then the person said, that was our first meeting, it's all your mercy, Maharaj. I said, come on, do you regularly learn from me in my lectures and repeat faithfully what I say? Then you could say it's your mercy. You have never heard a lecture from me. Why do you say such nonsense? That was really like, what? And then he began to fight with me. And then I smiled and said, see, your humility is not good. We are sometimes ugly Germans. How is it, my friend? Why do you say such things? Think, please, before you speak. So, we have a lot of false things, false humility. Now, my dear devotees, how do you come to the real stage of humility? You need to learn one thing. You need to disconnect from the body and the mind. You need to really do that and practice tolerance by what life throws on you. The sign of a devotee who has become advanced is that he is tolerant. Tolerant of what others do to him, tolerant of what others say, tolerant of their mistakes. Because if he has learned this tolerance, he has understood, I am a small part, 10,000 the tip of a hair, that's the size of the soul in our scriptures, it said like this. And what is why should I be so upset about others, about life? Why should I be even upset about illnesses and disease and so on? A devotee who wants to practice humility, real humility, needs this tolerance. And I would like to tell you my favorite story on tolerance. It comes from Ekanath. Ekanath is a devotee in Maharashtra. He is one of the Maharashtrian saints. So every morning after taking his bath in the river, he sat in before his hut and he chanted and did his puja. So one day a Muslim came by who was a professional card player, you know, gambling, who gambled to get Lakshmi, to win money. So he felt very disturbed because gambling makes you disturbed. You always think about your tricks and how to win money. Don't know if some of you are professional gambler here. Usually they don't. They come after they've given that up, you know. But you're a professional gambler. I tried professional gambling for some time. I'm not very intelligent at anything, so. But I know it's totally disturbing, all this. It's totally disturbing. And you're all this. Tricks, and I hope no one will find me, you know. So this Musulman thought, I need some peace. So he saw the saint Ekanath radiating an aura of peace, and he decided to sit for an hour the next evening. Then, after an hour, he got up and he went to his friend, and the friend said, I said, you're late. We couldn't start without you. Why were you late? And he said, I did something special. I sat next to a saint and I felt how his peace came into me. I'm much more peaceful than I usually am. Let's get back. Now one of his friends said, there are no saints, especially no Hindu saints. Tomorrow I will show you that your Saint Ekanath is a pretender. I will make him angry. So he went, this other professional gambler went, let us call him the angry maker, the anger maker, the Krodhakara, let us call him Krodhakara, the Krodha maker. So Krodhakara sat on the rooftop. When Ekanath came that morning from his bath, freshly dressed, fresh, with a fresh tilak and everything, and passed this house on which Krodhakara sat. Krodhakara was showing beetle. He became all red in his mouth from beetle, and he spit the beetle on the nice new cloth of Ekanath. Now you know, beetle states come very, it's very difficult to get them out of the cloth. But Ekanath looked at his cloth, it was all red, it looked all, you know, like someone spit on him. He looked up, and there was Krodhakara. Ekanath looked down and he went back to the river to take his bath again to try to wash his clothes. Then again he came. Krodhakara again spat on him. Ekanath noticed it and again took his bath. This repeated itself for 23 times, let's just say a number. And then the Krodhakara had nothing in his mouth any longer. It was dry, so he couldn't spit any longer. He went down from the roof and said, Ekanath, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm a sinner. But please tell me, why didn't you get angry on me? And Ekanath, who is a symptom of real humility, you know, because he tolerated this, he said, I could see that you are very determined to make me angry. Should I not remain more determined than you to not get angry? Because if you become angry, that it pollutes my whole body. It disturbs me so much, it upsets me, so that spiritually I become incompetent. So I was very determined to not get angry. And by the way, he smiled, you made me take extra bath in the holy river, so I'm very appreciative of you. He said it like this. This is tolerance, my dear devotees. Practice tolerance to achieve real humility. When someone gets on your case, when something gets on your case, when it's getting too hot, you can begin practice it today in the workshop. Now it's not pleasant, but it, by the way, we have this fence, it will be alright, no problem. You have to practice tolerance. This tolerance will bring you away from the bodily concept of life. And once you are away from the bodily identification, once you are away from that false identification of false ego, then only you can practice humility. Until then, you are a good showman. That's all. which is not very impressive. Of course, it's good to make a show, a try, you know, it's better than not try humility. But sometimes I have seen the proudest people are those who are the humility showman people. They are the proudest people. Look how, and you can see how easily they judge others. You know, how easily it comes, a small thing, and they judge you cruelly. So this is very important. True humility is manifesting in tolerance. So practice tolerance, and then you will come to the level of disidentification with the false ego, and then humility is very close by. I have talked about this, give up identification with the body and mind. I put it together here. I want to thank you very much that you listened to me up to now. It was the most difficult lecture which I give during the Japa retreat. It is not easy for me to give this lecture because I really can see that I'm not where I have many things where I'm not good. I know this, and it makes me sad, although I try to make jokes about it, but it makes me sad. So I had to give this lecture to you. You are better. You want to learn. I'm not so good, but I had to do that to just shake you up, because this is, I feel how you deal with this verse in a good way. I would like to give you now an example, a joyful example of Shukla Bharata's Brahmachari, who is the who is the example of humility. He was a very simple Brahmachari. He maintained his life by begging. He would do his sadhana till the midday time, and then he would go on Madhukari, and he lived on the lowest food you can imagine, that is broken rice or parched rice. He was known all over Navadvipa for a little bag which he kept on his bag. Shukla Bharata had this begging bag. He had a very and he had a certain route. So once he passed by Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gauranga Mahaprabhu was at that time sitting in silence. And he passed by, and Shukla Bharata sang like he always sang, Govinda Gopal Girihari, you know, different names of Krishna he engaged in Navkirtan. When he came by Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu jumped up, seeing and joined this ecstatic devotee, and he said, Shukla Bharata, you are the best. And he took his hand in the begging bowl, and you are having treasures here. Let me try them. And he ate this dry rice. Shukla Bharata said, oh no, now I'm very, 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 very bad, because you are the Lord, and I have offered you this miserable food. I will suffer. The Vedas describe how one should offer food to you, but I've given you this good-for-nothing food, this dirty food. Gauranga said, I want to come to your house, and I will eat your food, which you have cooked, because you are the best devotee. Shukla Bharata, you are truly humble. This is how they parted ways, and then some devotee came and the Shudra man said, Shudra Ma, the Lord will come tomorrow, cook something. What, me? I am a very, very, very useless. I'm very fallen. I cannot cook for the Lord. The Lord wants your food. He says he will not eat anything on that day. So if you don't want him to fast, you better cook. So Shukla Mara was very nervous. He was perspiring as he was cooking. But it said that Goddess Lakshmi came and helped him to cook for her Lord. So Shukla, so the Lord came and ate the food. It was rice and everything. And he said, Shukla Mara, I want to tell you something, how you can always chant the holy name. You are very qualified. And he said, Trinadapi Sumiche no Taro Iva Sarishna Amanina Manadena Kira Iva Sarahari. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, but is always prepared to give all respects to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. Because, Prabhus, Emanities, he is not on the bodily platform. He is understanding, I'm an eternal soul. I have this wonderful mercy of Krishna. I have this opportunity. And he will be a joyful, humble Vaishnava. Krishna Das Kaviraj tells about this pastime in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then he does something which is totally out of style. He interrupts his narration and he says, Urva bahu kari kohan shuna sarva loka namasutra ganti pada kante shloka. Raising my hands, he says, I declare, everyone, please hear me. Here. Slujati. String this verse on the thread of the holy name and wear it on your neck for continuous remembrance. Oh, Father Nalini, I'm so sorry. I'm so foolish. Now the thing has disappeared. It was just here. What do I do now, please? So simple. This function I know. So then Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, one must strictly follow the principles given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this verse. If one follows in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and the Goswamis, certainly he will achieve the ultimate goal of life, the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. So, my dear devotees, if you wish to attain the lotus feet of Krishna, then please follow this verse. And the entrance into this verse is tolerant. Tolerance. I would like to now request you to do something. Yeah. Thank you. I would like you to turn to a neighbor. This will be a good exercise. This will be intense. Oh. Isan, you have found your neighbor. Yes? Who? Okay. Krishna. Chandrashika, who is your neighbor? Good. Everyone has found, who doesn't have a neighbor? Please look around. Lalita Marva, look around. There's some. Our Nirvani has not found a neighbor. Nirvani, it seems to be that you are the, you know, that you are in the odd number category. That means you can join any one of your friends. Take some friends because it will be a little intimate. Or on this, you know. Okay. The first thing is, here you have to be a little reflective. Identify one situation in your life which comes up repeatedly, means again and again, where you lose your tolerance. You're always talking about each other. Not difficult, yes. The second comes. And then, oh, please, before you start, I have to, there has to be some, I forgot something. I'm sorry. I'm a little useless. There is one technique, my dear devotees, which I have explained in detail. It is based on the three steps of what we teach. It's the sacred space retreat. I highly recommend it for the Belkan devotees. It's based on understanding, not theoretically but practically, that we are the eternal soul. Then learning to look at our life from this perspective. For instance, let me say, I'm at the moment not so healthy. It happens, you know, when it's very hot and there's a lot to do. So I can understand I'm an eternal soul. And now I look at my tiredness from this perspective and I see, oh, yes, it's a good. This is what happens in life. When one gets old, sometimes one is not so healthy. No problem, you know. But if I'm identified with the body, it's the biggest problem. Huh? I should be so full of energy that I can inspire all of you. I cannot do my service correctly. So, yeah. All right. So this was an example. First step is, connect with being eternal. Shiva's Thakur. This is an important exercise for you also. Listen now. I'm in eternal. The situation which is there in my life is something which is coming because of my karma. Maybe this has happened or that has happened to me, and you observe it from this position in life. I'm an eternal soul, and you will see how the misery which the situation brings to you disappears a little. And then the third step is you act from a spiritual position, not from a material position. I call it in Croatian the emotionalni semaphore, the emotional traffic light. When you go in a town, then there is sometimes a traffic light. Red means stop. Then it comes yellow. Wait now. Don't go. Wait. And then comes green. Go. So this is a three-step process how a person who is not yet self-realized can act on the spiritual platform. When something happens, like a situation in life where you lose your tolerance, you don't go with it. You don't become intolerant and or depressed and angry. You first red, stop. Then you go on yellow. Wait, let me think now about it. from the spiritual perspective, how could I understand this better? I'm an eternal soul. This other person is an eternal soul. Yellow, don't yet go. And then you will find a very good idea how to go in a better way. And then only you go green. Let me say a simple situation in Grihastha life. Let us say, Mataji Annapurna. I hope we don't have Annapurna. Let me get this in it. Kailash Devi. Kailash Devi. We have no Kailash Devi. I want to. Kailash Devi goes into the room of her husband. Let us have a name, you know. Dalmatia Das. And Dalmatia Das has a tendency to be totally disordered and chaotic in his room. Everything is everywhere. An apple is on the computer, half eaten, you know, and what else? Lemonade is all over the floor. His bed is as if the atom bomb just visited him, you know, and so on. And Kailash Devi, very intense, austere Kailash Devi, is just feeling, oh, this Dalmatia Das. He is really the Tama incarnation. And she really, her tolerance is broken, and she is on her way to the kitchen to take a mild weapon out of her arsenal and go back to Dalmatia Das and get on his case. So Kailash Das Devidasi should now use the emotional semaphore, which means stop. I'm an eternal soul, and so is the Damodar Das, my husband. I should wait now. I always get on his case when he has put his room in disorder. And our marriage is impossible. I always get on his nerves. He is very angry and frustrated with me too much. How can I do better? You get it? Then she has an idea. And she says, Damodar Das, I always called you Dalmatia Das. I'm very sorry. This is a very bad word, you know. You know what I meant with this. I'm very sorry. You know, I'm just very intolerant sometimes when I see people like this. I would like to, you know, show you that I really mean. Could I help you put your room in order? You know, then Damodar said, you just want to pinch me by putting my room in order. And then he said, no, really not. You don't even need to do it. I will do it. And so on. And that gets to Damodar Das. And he, the next morning, he sees the room is all right, and he tries to maintain it. And for the week, it just becomes a little stormy at the weekend, but it's much better than before. This is what I meant with emotional semaphore. No? So your task is to turn to your neighbor and to identify one situation in your life which comes up repeatedly where you lose your tolerance. And second is, using the three steps of the emotional traffic light, describe how you could break the reactive pattern that you just react in an intolerant way and become more tolerant. Is the exercise clear? If you have not understood the emotional traffic light because I just presented it in three sentences, you know, then don't use the emotional traffic light. You can just think of how you can solve the situation. This is an interesting exercise, and it is important because let us not be an illusion about this. We need to somehow learn tolerance. And we can only do this if we, in the field of our life, identify situations where we behave intolerant, and then think how we do can do it better. Huh? And by the way, this what you will say, your partner can, if he wants, phone you after some time and ask, how well are you doing in this situation? We want something real here. I really need to say to you, my dear devotees, these retreats are not just some information download on you. We want to change our character. We need to start somewhere. We can't remain eternal neophytes. Good. You can start now. Please share openly as much as possible. Start now. I'm sorry. I see you already engaging in intense discussion. I can see we hit upon something. But it is maybe better. You will maybe come to a quicker result if first partner A talks and partner B just helps him getting it all out, you know. And remember, it has two parts. Not you have to identify the situation, but then you want to come up with a better solution, right? You don't just want to say, this is what happens always with me. Oh, no, I'm not talking. No, no. You want to find out. So it may be better, Ishwara Puri actually reminded me of something which is correct, that you decide who will go first, partner A. A comes before B, so usually partner A goes first, or if you want, partner B goes first. But C, that you talk about something, and maybe you want to divide it. Maybe you want to have partner A goes first with the first part of the question, and then partner B comes with the first part of the question. But you absolutely want to go to the second part. Yes. So, how long? Oh yeah, how long? Very good question. I think we need 10 minutes for this to really work on it. Maybe more. Maybe when you swim in the Adria, you need to continue your discussion. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. May I ask you, enough time or do you need a few more minutes? Few more minutes, okay. Maybe when you need two more minutes afterwards, you can during breakfast, you can sit with your partner and serve him breakfast. And, but it's good when you talk breakfast. Don't talk about problems, otherwise you eat it. You must talk about solutions by that time. My dear devotees, this exercise is something you can easily repeat in your private time. The key for humility is really this tolerance. And tolerance is something which you must practice. It's not a mental concept. You first start with tolerance by just not being judgmental, you know, and of the situation. You just analyze it from a spiritual position and see what it is, and then you tolerate what it is, and you come up. You should come up with good solutions for the situations. And usually, when you do these three steps, I can't teach them now in great detail because this is not the Sacred Space Retreat. But I really feel here in the Balkans, where we are a little bit more temperamental than anywhere else, and it would be good to learn these three steps and to practice them. Anyways, so I request you to practice tolerance throughout the rest of the retreat, because we want to go deeper into our chanting of the holy name. And Lord, it is clear, those who can chant according to the principles given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this humility, they can obtain the lotus feet of Krishna very easily. In other words, your chance to go deeper in the retreat really depends on this factor. I heard someone behind me. There was a time, most probably. Time factor. it depends on this. This is a crucial thing to exercise. And my request to you is really, for the rest of the retreat, have this one word in your mind. Tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. How do you say? Tolerirate, tolerirate, tolerirate. Huh? That is very important guideline, and you will access deeper levels of the holy name, where the holy name will reveal more of his greatness to you. No? You will experience greater levels. And remember, don't do it out of an inferiority complex. That's not the idea. The idea is to remember, I'm spiritual soul. I'm part of parcel of Krishna. I can step back from the situation. I don't have to react like I used to react. I break my reactive pattern, and I tolerate and look for a better solution. If you have this little exercise, if you do it for the rest of your retreat, oh God, you will be, I'm expecting self-realized and not self-referred devotees. God. So, we have gone a little bit over time. I will just see if there are any announcements. No, Govindananda is also not there. Everything is clear. So, because we are over time, we see each other at 11 o'clock here. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful breakfast. Thank you.